Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Boy, every week it is like pummel, 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 jump up and down, run around in circles. I mean, watching what's happening on the planet and in the swamp DC is just, it's like an old picture horror show, isn't it? It really is. Anyway, I'll tell you what, this is not going to be as long a show from me, as usual, because underneath the audio bar, for those of you listening on the podcast, and the website, www.ontherightsideradio.com, you're going to see four links to some of the many shows I did on Obamacare back when. We're talking about 2012, 2013, 2014, and I think one show might even be before that. And my purpose is, I want you to remember what Obamacare really is. I'm going to talk more about that. I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning about John McCain. Oh, God. John McCain and his Obamacare vote and the overall Obamacare debacle there in the Senate and the House, and it's Democrats and Republicans alike. I'm going to be talking about the... And I was the first to tell you that this was going to happen, I think, 6 or 7 months ago, about a special counsel to be appointed to investigate Hillary Clinton and all her criminal tendencies and tentacles, Susan Rice, Ambassador Powers. I talked about her last night, married to Cass Sunstein, a revelation I had not a clue of, Cass Sunstein being Obama's old regulatory czar and an absolute dyed-in-the-wool progressive. And It's about time. And I was the first one to tell you that this was going to happen, but there's some more intrigue to it that I'm going to review with you briefly this morning. And then I'm going to talk about some international powder kegs, which the press is not covering at all. I mean, zero. There's virtually no coverage of it, and I don't care who you're listening to or what you're watching. And you need to know about these, because any one of them could instantaneously, without warning, completely change your life, and not for the better. And then I'm going to review with you the wretch-worthy headlines of the week, many of which, by the way, are articles posted on the site below. But I do urge you, on this Obamacare thing, to click on the four links to past shows that are right below the audio bar, including, by the way, my interview, or should I say, argument with one of the Obama administration's main proponents of Obamacare, and Kimberly Amadeo, who has written some incredible articles about Obamacare, once again, back when. This is like right before and right after its passage. So she was anti-Obamacare. She was one of the only people to read the entire 2,700-page bill, 20,000 pages of regulation, $2.7 trillion in costs, you name it. I mean, this is pretty fascinating, and I think you'll get a big kick. I think you'll get a big kick out of my, I guess we can call it an interview, with the Obama administration Obamacare shill, but I don't know. Anyway, you'll find all of this fascinating, and Lowell Ponte's book about Obamacare, another interview back then. Oh, my producer's beckoning to me. Look, and when I say my producer's beckoning to me, she's beckoning like through Skype because I am on the road. I'm going to talk a little bit about that too, signing some books and what I got going there for all you great readers of mine. So, let's see. This guy was a JD, cum laude, you know, la-di-da-di-da. Oh my, PhD. Ooh. And his name, I'm just going to call him Timothy. His real name is Timothy Jost. That's J-O-S-T. Huge Obama administration proponent of Obamacare. And he and I squared off for an hour in a national interview back on, let's see, it was August 24th, 2013. August 24th, 2013. And that was subsequently, like 5 days later on the next show, August 17th, 2013. Let's see here. Yes, August 17th, 2013, I then interviewed Kimberly Amadeo, who had read the entire bill. Now, if Mr. Jost had read the entire bill, then he was lying through his teeth. My personal opinion is he had never read the entire bill. He was just a progressive trying to sell us the bill of goods along with the lies the president was telling us. Look, I'm going to let those shows speak for themselves, but I think it's critical that you listen to them, which is why I'm going to keep this one shorter today, even if it takes you some time over the course of this week, because, you know, they're, first of all, I think they're fake polls, but the dispopularity, the unpopularity of Obamacare has definitely decreased. I'm not sure its popularity has risen. I think part of it is the general population's disgust with Washington, D.C., and their total distrust of whatever D.C. does. In other words, we know Obamacare absolutely sucks, but at least we know what we have that's so bad. We're scared about them making it even worse. I think that's kind of what's going on here. Anyway, first of all, I'm going to start off with a little story. So, I'm going to tie it in with the books for you, too. So, I'm doing a kind of a mini tour now and then a larger tour the end of August, 1st of September. The publishers have me going to several places that invited me to be their designated author and sign, which includes my fourth year in a row at Golden Days, Buffalo Bill Days, in Golden, Colorado. In fact, I arrived yesterday, and I met a whole bunch of people tonight when the event opened, and I will be signing tomorrow and Sunday until closing time at 5. And the story is going to revolve around that, but let me continue with one flow of thought at a time. Then August 2nd through August 5th or 6th, whatever that Sunday is, I am up at the Richland County Fair in Montana, Sydney, Montana, to be exact. And this is a big, big fair. It rivals the size of some state fairs. So I'm quite honored to be the designated author up there for 5 days. In fact, I'll even have a publisher's assistant with me because we're going to be busy, busy, busy. We got lots of readers up there. And then August 18th, I think somewhere in there, I am at the Nebraska State Fair, first time ever at that event. And from the Nebraska State Fair, I go back to the Southeast Idaho State Fair. This will be our third or fourth year there. Great bunch of people out there in Idaho. Tens of thousands of readers. I'm looking forward to seeing them all again. I want you all to know, those of you who have read books 1, 2, and 3 in Threads West, and who have been jumping up and down and sharpening your pitchforks and tightening up your hangman's nooses because I'm late on book 4, that 4 and 5 are right around the corner. We're solving some distribution problems. There's nothing worse than releasing a book and nobody can get it. I think that actually upsets people more than the book not being released yet. Publishers agree. So that's getting straightened around. It's the nitty-gritty that goes on behind books, which would just blow your mind. I mean, this is the book business is both archaic and not simple. But what I wanted to tell you is for all those people at all these various events, if you have read books, and by the way, we will also send you the coupon from the website if you want to write in. For all you people who have read books 1, 2, and 3 and have been waiting patiently and or impatiently for book 4, the publishers have come up with a great coupon that'll save you up to $50 on these books, including books 4, 5, and 6. So you folks at these other events who are readers of Threads West, please come on out, say hi, grab your coupon, which is good until 2 weeks. There's no time limit on it. It's really unbelievable. I mean, $50 savings is a lot of money. Come out and grab your coupon. And if you have old coupons, by the way, that you haven't used, you may use those also. Whichever one is best for you. Everybody has a unique reading situation. So this isn't like replacing any coupon you might have, but instead, this is an additional coupon. You can kind of pick and choose which you want to use. Now, my story is this. So in the course of yesterday evening, because the Golden Days event was open from, I think, 5 to 9, and until then everybody's kind of setting up their stuff, I had at least 10, maybe 20 folks who are readers of books 1, 2, and 3 come up to my signing station and ask if book 4 was out, and I could tell by the looks of disappointment in their face when I said it was not quite out, but close, that they were not happy, and they got their coupons that I was just talking about, which helped a little bit. But, you know, it struck me, it kind of tugged on my heart. I think I talked a little bit about this, some months ago. I had a lady call up, very nice, talking about how her husband was 95 and he loved these books. They were his favorite. He liked them better than Louis L'Amour and Lonesome Dove and Zane Grey and a whole bunch of other very flattering comments. But he was 95 and he really wanted to read some more before he died. And that conversation has stayed with me. And it was reinforced tonight by several of my readers who were elderly. You know, not real old, but I mean, it must have been in their 70s. Maybe one guy was in his early 80s. And I could tell, I mean, one guy even said, I'm going to be dead by the time I get all these books. And I assured him, no, that would not be the case. But, you know, it got me to thinking, number one, it's very flattering for people to come up and tell you that, you know, you are amongst their favorite author, or you are their favorite author, or, you know, they consider me up in the same realm as Louis L'Amour and John Stone and, you know, all sorts of great authors. It is flattering, it is humbling, and I'll tell you, it touched my heartstrings because I've realized it before, but it was brought home last night, that writing these books, yes, I love to write them, and yes, I love the history. And yes, I love people saying, oh, you know, I love these books. But I really write them for these people. And I'm so sorry that books 4 and 5 are late. I mean, life has gotten in the way in a lot of respects. And this distribution thing has got to be solved or you'll be really unhappy. You'll be hearing about how the books have been released and you're going to go down to your local store. And they're not going to have them, or it's going to be a big hassle and delay before they get them, and then you will really be unhappy. So we're going to do this right, because excuse me, when the start button is hit on these next books, really the rest of the series, I want it to be as smooth as the archaic and nonsensical book business can be for you, my readers. So that is kind of my, we'll call it a half story. But it struck me. There was it tugged at my heartstrings talking to these people. I wished that I had the book right in my hand. I could just hand it to them and say, "Here it is." So anyway, I just want you all to know that the moral of the story is sometimes there are strings to success, and sometimes those strings are heartstrings. All right, let's get into Obamacare. So as you probably know by now, yesterday, John McCain, Rhino extraordinaire, in fact, John McCain is really a progressive. I'm not sure that he would have been any better, except in just a few respects like military, than Barack Obama. It would have been death by a thousand paper cuts. He is, and I have said this a million times, he is the classic example. He is the case study for term limits. So he represents a state where Obamacare premiums this year are going up 116% on the average. 116%. With a number of counties that will have either no or just one insurer. In other words, zero choice, which is why they can raise rates. And John McCain, the bill that was on the Senate floor yesterday, after casting a vote to proceed with debate, John McCain cast the vote which killed what was called the skinny repeal bill. I mean, this repeal bill was pretty repeal light, L-I-T-E. Oh, it whacked out a few of the taxes, like the medical device tax and a couple of other things and the personal mandate. But quite literally, this was no great shakes. And the biggest thing is that the House had promised to sit down with the Senate, if the Senate passed this bill, and to negotiate a bill that everybody was happy with to move the process even further along. In other words, this process of getting rid of Obamacare, which you got to understand, this is a chain attached to an anchor thrown out of the rowboat, which is the country, by the progressives, that affects everything this country does, from budget to tax to health, you name it. You have no idea how insidious Obamacare is. It is insidious. It is a poison pill which Barack Obama and the progressives purposely injected into our national bloodstream. And its effects, you've only seen the beginning of the detrimental effects. And that's one of the reasons that I have these other four shows from many years ago posted. I'd really like you to listen to them. You will know more about Obamacare if you listen to those four shows than 99.9% of the country. But most importantly, you will remember why Obamacare is so lethal to the United States and to all of its citizens. Even the people who are getting a free ride on Obamacare. Now, McCain's vote was just proof of what McCain is. In fact, there's an article posted, and I believe it's under Swamp and Obamacare. That's how important I thought the article was. That number one goes into McCain's vote today, which effectively killed the opportunity to get rid of certain really, a few really bad aspects of Obamacare and set up the joint House-Senate committee to work on the next step. Take a few more bad things out. Fix this, fix that. McCain could only have killed this bill if in his heart of hearts he is a progressive and he likes Obamacare. Regardless of the fact that his state is suffering, many people can't get insurance, many people only have one insurer, and the state is paying 116% more in premiums. Deductibles are going up too, but that's a whole other story. So John McCain basically threw a big fat middle finger at Donald Trump, whom he hates, at all of America, whom I'm not sure he loves. Certainly at his constituents in his state, and absolutely at the Republican Party. He showed his true colors today. This has nothing to do with his war hero status or anything like that. Give the devil his due. He did that stuff. God bless him. I'm talking about now. That was, 40 years ago, folks, 50 years ago. Let's talk about now, shall we? You don't get a free ride on life just because you did a great thing 50 years ago, and then you did a bunch of trash things like today's vote afterwards. I mean, you got to be judged on what you're doing. People change. They can change for the good or they can change for the worse. John McCain, if he was ever really a conservative, he's no longer a conservative. He's not even close. In fact, if you take a look at this article, you will see about six videos of John McCain lying to the people of Arizona and the United States about how bad Obamacare was, how it needed to be repealed, blah, 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 blah. He voted for repeal when Barack Obama was in office, when he knew the bill wouldn't be signed. And now, he's Obama's best buddy. I talked about this 5 weeks ago. He actually had an interview where he said he preferred Obama to Trump. He's Obama's best buddy, and he is the sole vote that kept Obama repeal light from going forward today. Not that the bill was important, but that the setup for the conference between the House and the Senate was important. It's just pathetic. It's just pathetic. Now, 7 or 8 months ago, I told you, not that I'm any Houdini, nor that I'm a clairvoyant, but I understand because certain paths my life has taken, which are kind of similar to some of the paths Trump's life has taken, that I think I kind of get a feel for how he thinks. And in some ways, he thinks very much like I do, or I think very much like he does. It's interchangeable, I suppose. The bottom line is that I told you 7 months ago, 7 months ago, when all this Russia stuff started, that Hillary, and I think these were my exact words, Hillary had lost her get-out-of-jail-free card, and that there was going to be a counterattack, and it would be vicious. And that he was most dangerous when he didn't say anything. And all of a sudden, we have this letter going from the House of Representatives. Well, let me start at the beginning. All of a sudden, so he's banging on Jeff Sessions, right? And he's talking about how the Justice Department isn't investigating Hillary and Susan Rice and the unmaskings and the Uranium One deal and all that kind of stuff. And he's bashing on Sessions. Never mind whether you like Sessions or you don't. I happen to think he's terrific. But I knew there was a reason. Trump doesn't do things without a reason. Understand this. Yes, once in a while he makes a mistake in his presentation, or he makes a mistake in the timing of what he does relative to his reason. But nothing is done without a reason. Nothing is done without knowing or thinking he knows what moving that chess piece on the board is going to do to the rest of the game. And the minute he said, in fact, I told my mom, because we were talking about this, the minute he said, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was with Sessions, when he started that, I said, this is cover. What's coming next is a special counsel for Hillary Clinton and the Democrats. For a whole bunch of reasons. Number one, it really needs to be done. Number two, it's leverage against special counsel Mueller. Number three, it's a warning shot to all those anti-Never Trumpers who are putting themselves and their personal animosities ahead of country. And there's probably other reasons too. But sure enough, like I predicted 7 months ago, like I was sure of 3 weeks ago, today we find out 20 members of the House Judiciary sent a letter to Jeff Sessions saying, we need a special counsel to investigate the unmasking. Susan Rice, Powers, who I talked about just last week. Susan Rice I've been talking about for 3 or 4 weeks. The tarmac meeting between Lynch and Clinton. The pay-to-play, you know, they have the tarmac meeting, and then 5 days later, Hillary Clinton says, oh, I'm going to keep Loretta as my attorney general. The pay-to-play with Bill Clinton and Russia, the Uranium One deal, the Clinton Foundation, the emails, the whole nine yards. So, and I think it's going to happen. I think there's going to be a second special counsel appointed to investigate all this stuff. Should we say the Clinton Democratic Progressive Corruption Machine? And I think one of the things which has now added fuel to the fire is the arrest of this Pakistani IT specialist that was working for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And if you go back to my shows in February, I was about the only person who reported that those two brothers, those Pakistani brothers, have been canned by the Congress, by the Congress, because they were stealing information and doing other shady things and kind of bilking the United States for money at the same time exposing its secrets. I have that on the show back in February. Nobody was talking about this. This guy that got arrested is one of those two brothers, folks, that I was talking about 6 months ago. Except the scandal is way bigger than I thought at that time. I mean, it involves Schultz, it involves the DNC, there's now ties to the Clintons, which I'm going to be bringing to the forefront over the next several weeks. Likely, top secret congressional information, never mind Hillary's information, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz information, has gone to the Pakistani government. These people we now find just in the last week took $100,000 from Iraq. I'm sure that wasn't because of how they smile. I'm sure that was in exchange for information. Who knows what information they were privy to when they were running the computers for 37 Democratic congressmen and for Wasserman Schultz, who herself is a congress lady. And, of course, Wasserman Schultz is now involved in an obstruction of justice problem. Relative to this matter, she told the Capitol Police they couldn't have the computers. Then these guys smashed the computers. The FBI, nobody's reporting on this. The FBI has now grabbed all the smashed computers. I mean, this is a big deal. And the links to the Clinton are right there. And who knows what this guy did with the Clinton server and who he gave that information to. And by the way, who knows if this guy wasn't involved in the leaks from the DNC to WikiLeaks? Who knows if this guy was or was not associated with or knew Seth Richards, the DNC staffer who was found mysteriously, I've talked about this a million times, and I'm going to keep talking about it, who was found mysteriously murdered. It's called a robbery by the DC police who have ties to Clinton. Yet his wallet and all his money aren't taken. None of his jewelry is taken. He's killed at 3 in the morning. There's a lot. There's a lot of foul-smelling crud dripping around these stories. And I believe, and I'm going to prognosticate again, that you will find common links that link all this stuff, Uranium One, Comey, Clinton, Clinton's foundation, Bill's Russia speeches, this guy from Pakistan, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the DNC emails to WikiLeaks, the murder of Seth Richards, the unmasking by Susan Powers, her ties to she's married to him. To Cass Sunstein, who was Obama's regulatory czar, Susan Rice's unmasking, Ben Rhodes. Mark my words, we're at the tip of the tip of the iceberg. This is all one big, horrible, smelly ball of whatever. And it is going to be fascinating as that onion is peeled by the special counsel, which I really believe will be appointed to go after those matters, not to mention congressional investigations into them and also. Now, let's talk a little bit about some international stuff which nobody's talking about and which, with a flash of an eye, in the blink of an eye, in the elapse of a millisecond, without warning, could affect your life forever, probably adversely. Number one, nobody's reporting on this, but China and India are close to war. They've long been enemies over a disputed section of ground between them called the Kashmir. And they are really, I mean, they're rattling the nuclear sabers, both of them. They're both nuclear powers. One has 1.6 billion people, the other has 1.2 billion people, and you know, as callous as this sounds, either one of these countries could lose 300 or 400 million people and never miss them. Very dangerous situation that's been fermenting and boiling and simmering for decades and is starting to come to a head, and nobody, absolutely nobody, is talking about it. Number two, North Korea. As you know, I think it was yesterday, they sent off their second ICBM. I told you on a show, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, type in North Korea, you can listen to it in the search bar. We're going to have to take them out, period. There is no alternative to this. We are out of choices. Trump has no choice because of the foibles, the follies, the appeasement, the weakness, and the politics of Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack Obama. There is no more road to kick the can down. We have hit the curb. Iran. So Iran is, as everybody's diverted around the world, flexing its muscles with missile launches, interference with the UN inspectors. If you remember, no U.S. inspectors are allowed. That's what Obama and Kerry agreed to. Unbelievable. So that's a problem that's boiling over. And then we have Israel. Nobody's talking about this. I mean, there have been a huge ramp up of Hezbollah and Hamas attacks in Israel, all across the country, around the borders, Jerusalem, you name it. That's coming to a head. Because Israel's not going to take it, folks. And by the way, they're not going to take Iran getting a nuclear weapon either. I mean, that's another flashpoint, Israel-Iran. And then we have a problem in Jordan. Now, Jordan's a pretty big ally. The king there is terrific. And certainly anti-Islamist, even though he is a Muslim, but he is anti-Islamist. And in Jordan, I don't know if you remember this story or not, this is, I think, about 6 months ago. So there's three Green Berets. They're all staff sergeants from various parts of the country, I believe. One was Tennessee, one was Texas, and one might have been Colorado. I could be wrong on that, but anyway, three Green Beret sergeants. They were training Barack Obama's mysterious anti-Assad Syrian resistance forces. And they were training them in Jordan. And they come back in this little convoy from the training. And there is this video of a Jordanian soldier opening fire on them. And, I mean, these guys are waving their arms, et cetera, et cetera. This Jordanian soldier not only fires on them, runs up to the first vehicle, pumps more rounds into it point blank, Two of the Americans jump out of the second vehicle and run behind some kind of road barriers, you know, like they use when they're building road stuff. He follows them over there and kills both of them execution style. Three Green Berets. Obviously, they weren't armed. They made every attempt to show they were, that, you know, I mean, they went through the gates, et cetera, it, to make a long story short, the Jordanian military arrested this guy, and they tried him, and they have sentenced him to pre-committed murder, whatever the Jordanians call kind of like murder two. And they sentenced him to life in prison. And there's been huge riots over in Jordan over this. I mean, somebody got sentenced to life in prison for killing some American soldiers. Who cares, right? That's the attitude. But more importantly, the Jordanian government, remember, they have taken more than a million refugees in, which has destabilized the country. They've now released this video, which clearly shows that the Americans did absolutely nothing. They weren't armed. They didn't shoot back. They were hunted down and killed in the hopes of quelling this anti-government unrest. But this is something to keep your eye on, because we can't afford to lose any Arab allies. We can't afford to let Islamists take over any more Arab or Mid-Eastern countries, because that will set us way, way back. I mean, the defeat of ISIS in Mosul was great. The looming defeat of ISIS in Raqqa, Syria, is great. But if you let one of these countries fail, you let one of these governments topple again, like in Libya, thank you Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, we're just going to have more problems, more ISIS, or more ISIS wannabes. So that's the international stuff. Now, on headlines to make you wretch. Oh, boy, wait till I have this for you. All right, I'm calling it up right now. Okay, here we go. Yeah. I mean, some of this stuff will just blow your mind. It will just blow your mind. All right, number one, you know, we have the articles on McCain, and particularly watch the videos of what he has said for the last 7 years, as opposed to his vote yesterday, right? There's a really good article on the Clinton, Comey, and Lynch investigations, which are now ramping up, the special counsel stuff I talked to you about. And then another federal judge trying to block one of Trump's executive orders. He couldn't get an appeals court to hear it timely, so he upheld his own order. I want you to think about that now. A court seeking an appeal decides in the end it's too long, so he appeals to himself and upholds his own order. I'm sure glad the folks at Obama appointed know and respect both the rule of law and the Constitution. Is pretty damn scary. And then we have a New York University librarian who bemoans racial fatigue. You know why? Because she has to check out books for white guys. Okay, that's cool. That's terrific. And then we have articles on this Pakistani, the DNC's IT aide, getting arrested while attempting to flee the country. He was arrested at Dulles Airport after smashing all the computers. The rest of his family, by the way, who was paid a total, you'll love this, of our tax dollars, $5 million to wreck their mischief in the DNC, Wasserman Schultz's office, for 37 congressional Democrats, etc., 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 while on the take from Iraq, while committing bank fraud, according to the FBI, who knows, the rest of his family got out. They got $5 million of our taxpayer money as pay, never mind whatever else they stole, embezzled, or got bribed with, i.e. the Iraqi money for secrets. Trump ends Obama-era CIA provision of arms to ISIS. That's right. The CIA under Obama, this is, remember, John Brennan, the Muslim CIA director, was supplying arms to ISIS because they wanted ISIS to take out Assad. Boy, that just makes you feel good, doesn't it? I wonder how many innocent people ISIS killed with those arms or that money to buy arms. And then, you know, we have this weird deal in Minneapolis where this Muslim cop, who Minneapolis admits was hired for diversity purposes, shoots this poor 40-year-old, very beautiful, Australian woman who's getting supposed to get married in September to her fiancé. She's the one who called the police. And the first story was, and he shoots across, his partner's driving the patrol car. He shoots across his partner and through the door, hitting her in the abdomen and killing her. The first thing was he was afraid for his life because firecrackers had gone off. The second thing was she had slapped the patrol car with her hand. Remember, this is a blonde, small blonde woman, attractive. I mean, this wasn't some meth head running at them, with a cell phone in her pajamas. And this guy fired three times. That's going to be an interesting case to watch. The city council and mayor of Minneapolis are already making excuses for him because he's Muslim. It's unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. And then we have Rosie O'Donnell bringing out a new game, a video game, or a cell phone game that encourages violence against Trump. You get to hang the president if you do the game right or something. I personally haven't played it, but she deserves a Secret Service visit, I believe. And then we have, oh yeah, we have a judge arrested and taken off the bench, but still being paid administrative leave, a judge in Texas, and they found out that she wasn't even an American citizen. She was an illegal alien, but she was a judge. Isn't that great? That's just terrific. It makes you so happy. Let's see, what's a few others here? Oh, CIA Director John Brennan. Remember, now he's now in the crosshairs with this special new special counsel. So he's wiggling and he's weaving and he's moaning. And his animosity toward Trump knows no bounds. I've talked about on previous shows. If you want, type in CIA Brennan. You can listen to those shows. He now calls for a coup. I mean, outwardly. A coup to be committed against Donald Trump if he fires Mueller. I don't think he's going to have to fire Mueller. I think it's going to be completely counterbalanced by the investigation that really needs to be conducted by a special counsel, and that is the Hillary, Rice, Rhodes, Powers, Obama, Jarrett, criminal enterprises. That's all you can call them. Okay. And we have some really good gun control articles. Some of these things are going to worry you, folks. Read the articles under gun control. I know you think you have a friendly Congress. I know you think you have a friendly administration. But you know what? Congress is not as friendly as you think. And some of the states and counties and burbs are not friendly at all. Your Second Amendment rights are just as much, well, not maybe just as much, but equally in danger as they were. And you better keep your eyes open on it. Several articles on Mueller, the special counsel, kind of working for the Dems. You know, he has 37 former Hillary staffers on his staff, and five or six of his top attorneys were Hillary Clinton donors. In fact, the special prosecutor's staff, folks, it's kind of like the post office when they did a study on it. I told you last week about the post office helping Hillary Clinton by not charging $1.46. She got every package she mailed out on her campaign for $1.46 less than she should have been paying. That's money right out of our pockets, folks. That $1.46 was well known to Clinton operatives. It saved them tens and tens of millions of dollars and cost us the same, and was not done for us. Not done for us. All right. You know, read the articles below this show, or at least skim the headlines, and you'll get a feel for just how out there these lefties are. I mean, they are out there. They are absolutely, you know, they are upside down, out of control. Upside down, out of control. So, we will be talking for longer periods of time next week on a host of subjects that I'm researching now. That's going to include which states are really in trouble, the top 10 states, not just Illinois, like I've talked about here several times in the past 3 or 4 weeks. And we may be talking a little bit more about pension stuff. There's some other bad stuff starting to happen with some large pensions. And we're certainly going to be talking about this Pakistani Debbie Wasserman Schultz, DNC, treason, espionage, foreign corruption deal that's going on, and the special counsel that Congress is now pushing Sessions to appoint to take a look at all this stuff. So we have lots of stuff to cover next week, and I'm sure between now and next week there will be just as much craziness, and obviously I'll have to spend time covering that too. All you folks out there, I hope to see you in Golden at Buffalo Bill Days. We are Booth 77C. Come see us. Would love to sign the books or just talk to you or come pick up your coupon. All you folks up there in Montana, can't wait to see you. Lots of readers up there. Same with Southeast Idaho, the first week of September, and the Nebraska State Fair, and the Central States Fair in Rapid City, South Dakota. That's where I'm going, the 18th, that's right. Rapid City, South Dakota, the Central States Fair. And then I am going over to the Nebraska State Fair shortly thereafter. Anyway, because the cowboy can get this screwed up, I guarantee you, go to the website, www.threadswestseries.com. Click on book signings, and I guarantee the publishers know what dates I'm supposed to be where long before I do. Anyway, all of you folks, have a great week, a safe week, and we'll talk to you next week. Please, as you have a chance over the next week, I'm sure you won't have the time immediately, but if you do, spend it. Listen to those 4 Obamacare shows below the audio bar. You AM listeners, go to the website, click on it. You've already heard the show, so go right to those links. You folks that go to the website or listen to podcasts, listen to those 4 shows to remember just how bad Obamacare is, how insidious it is, how poisonous it is, and then think about the fact that there are actually Republican senators, and there's some Republicans in the House too, who despite all the rhetoric of the last 7 years and their repeal votes when Obama was president, can't vote for repeal now. I want you to think about that. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.